Well, I know that all of us are thankful to be here this morning, aren't we? Some have experienced damage to trees and property and buildings. But as far as I know, none of the family here has been injured or hurt. And all that other stuff is just stuff. That's all it is. And stuff can be replaced. If we're honest, we're going to have to admit that we probably have too much stuff anyway. So it's good to see each and every one of you. We have visitors with us this morning. We hope that you feel at home in our midst, and that you'll want to come back and worship God with us again as you have the opportunity to do that. Some time ago, I heard about a 78-year-old man in Key West, Florida, who took 2 months to notice that his roommate was dead. The investigating police detective said of this fella who learned 2 months later that his roommate had died, he said the guy was very stubborn and wouldn't answer him. Can you imagine someone being dead for 2 months and his roommate didn't realize that, didn't recognize that had occurred? Now, I have mentioned that incident because I can't help but wonder how many folks may very well be spiritually dead and yet unaware of their own condition. When Jesus, through John's pen, wrote his letter to the church in Sardis, he told those Christians that they had a reputation for being alive, but Jesus said, "You're dead." When he wrote the letter to the church in Laodicea, he was writing to a group of Christians who thought that they were rich and in need of nothing. And Jesus looked at that church and said, "You're poor and you're blind and you're naked." Do you need renewal in your life as a Christian? Do you need your fire lit? Do you need more spiritual vitality than you currently have? Sometimes we can become spiritually cold and empty, and we don't even realize that. And when that occurs, let's be honest, we're not going to accomplish very much for the Lord. Someone has well said, I think, that a local church is sometimes like a basketball game. 5 players badly in need of rest and 1,000 spectators badly in need of exercise. I want to talk with you this morning about Josiah's steps to spiritual renewal. Josiah was one of the later kings in the southern kingdom of Judah, and he came to see a spiritual need for renewal in the life of his people. And I think that when we look at the steps that Josiah took to lead his people to spiritual renewal, we can learn how to be renewed spiritually ourselves today, if that in fact is what we need. Now, before I talk about those steps to spiritual renewal, I want to briefly remind you of some things about King Josiah himself. He lived about 600 years before Jesus entered the world. As I just mentioned, he ruled over the southern kingdom of Judah, and he became king when he was only 8 years old, and he ruled for 31 years. That means he died when he was a relatively young man. Just imagine what it must be like for an 8-year-old to assume the reign of a kingdom. And yet the Bible tells us that there was no king more courageous. In fact, we might refer to Josiah as Josiah the Lionhearted. He was a man loved by God because of his commitment to righteousness and for his leadership of his people to spiritual renewal. The inspired record tells us that after his death, the people of God mourned his passing for many years. Josiah was one man who changed the course of his nation, if only for a little while. He brought about spiritual renewal to a corrupt and idolatrous people. Sadly, this restoration was short-lived. But we can still learn a lot about restoration and spiritual renewal by looking at the steps that Josiah took to bring his people to a closer relationship with God. As you can see from the chart, his story is recorded for us in 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23 and 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. Each of these two accounts give us details of the reign of Josiah that are omitted by the other historian. And so we'll be looking, or at least alluding, to information in both of these accounts. But as you think about the steps that anyone needs to take to be renewed spiritually, let me remind you that we're told that Josiah resolved to seek God. As I've already mentioned, he began to reign when he was just 8 years old, and in the 8th year of his reign, the chronicler tells us in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 3 that he began to seek the God of his father, David. Now stop and think about that for a moment. I would suggest to you that this resolution on Josiah's part is truly a remarkable thing when you consider his age, first of all, his family background, and then the times in which he lived. When Josiah made the decision to seek the God of his ancestor, David, he was only 16 years old. Think about that. That means that at the time when many young people today are making the decision to go to the devil, Josiah was making the decision to seek the Lord. And he made that decision despite his family background, a background that was certainly not conducive to spirituality. Josiah's grandfather was the king named Manasseh. And if you know anything about Manasseh's story, you know that he was one of the most wicked kings in the southern kingdom of Judah. A king that practiced heathen idolatry and the associated immoralities that went along with it. Instead of continuing the reforms of his father Hezekiah, he revoked those reforms. He even built altars to idol gods and set up a carved image of the Asherah in the temple precincts itself. I'm sure you're well aware of the fact that the temple that Solomon built is no longer standing in Jerusalem. The temple that Herod the Great built is long since gone, and now the Dome of the Rock sits on that particular site. But imagine with me for a moment that the Jewish temple was still standing on that site, and someone takes a Nazi flag with the Nazi swastika and hangs it. You've seen those pictures from World War II, those huge red banners with the swastika right there in the middle. Imagine someone doing that in the temple precinct of Jerusalem. Well, that must be something like how the faithful Jews felt when King Manasseh set up idols in the very temple precincts itself. In fact, Manasseh became so depraved that he offered some of his own children in sacrifice to idol gods. That just boggles my mind. I don't understand that. But it happened nonetheless. Manasseh involved himself in mysticism and various occult practices, and he became so wicked that we're told that he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. In fact, Manasseh was so wicked that the historian tells us that he seduced the people of God to do more evil than the pagan nations that had lived before them in the land of Canaan. No doubt you remember that in the book of Leviticus, we are told that because of the wickedness of the Canaanites, God vomited them out of the land. And he promised that he would do the same thing with his own people were they to follow in their footsteps. Well, Manasseh did. And after Manasseh died, he had a son named Amon who walked in the footsteps of his father. But Josiah made the decision to seek the Lord despite the family background that he had. He also made the decision to seek the Lord despite the fact that he lived in a time of pervasive wickedness. Prostitutes were selling their wares in houses of worship. Wizards treated diseases with chance. The people of God were worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars. They were following horoscopes. The temple was in disarray. The law was lost. The people were worshiping whatever god they chose, and yet despite all of that, Josiah resolved to seek God. What do you do when your grandfather and your father are wicked and your nation is corrupt? Follow suit? Well, many people would, but Josiah did not. He wasn't a chip off the old rotten block. He didn't follow in the footsteps of his father and his grandfather. He reversed the trend. He defied the odds. He decided to do right, to imitate David, the man after God's own heart. He chose to change. Now, Josiah was only one person, But he was one person dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to right, and he changed his nation at least for a while. The poet has said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Isn't that the kind of attitude that each one of us should have? That with God's help and God's grace, I will do what I can do to bring about spiritual renewal, not only in my life, but in the lives of others as well. As a result, at the end of Josiah's 31-year reign, the temple had been prepared, idols were destroyed, the law of God was once again elevated to a place of prominence and power. May I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you need spiritual renewal, the place to start is by seeking God in your life. And you must do that regardless of your age, whether you are young or old, regardless of your family background, regardless of the pervasive wickedness that may surrounds you in the society where you live. Unfortunately, accepting responsibility for our actions and our destiny is made more difficult by the fact that we live in a society that has lost its sense of responsibility. I must confess to you that when I started preaching 40 years ago, I never thought we would be where we are in America today. Did you? I never thought that homosexual marriage would be legal in this country. I never thought that the transgender issues that we're hearing so much about in the news today would be going on. But folks, we're each responsible for our own spiritual well-being. It is our choice. I must understand that my spiritual destiny is not determined by others. It's not determined by my circumstances. It is determined by my choice and God's grace. Sometimes it's easy for us to play the if only game. If only I was born somewhere else. If only I had been treated fairly. If only I had better parents or more money or greater opportunities. And the list goes on and on. Well, your parents may give you your genes, but God gives you grace. Your parents may be responsible for your body, but God has taken charge of your soul if you're one of His children. We can't control the way our forefathers responded to God, but I can control the way I respond to Him. Viktor Frankl observed during his imprisonment in the Nazi concentration camps that when people were starving to death because there wasn't enough bread to go around, there were actually some people in those camps who were sharing their meager rations of bread with more needy people. And from that experience, he learned something terribly important. He said, and I quote, "Even the most horrid situations where people are totally controlled, there is one thing that can't be controlled. They cannot control your ability to do what is right. They can't do it. Nobody has that power over anybody." Brothers and sisters, the first step to spiritual renewal is making the resolution to seek God. And then secondly, the chronicler tells us in 2 Chronicles 34, verses 3 and following, and I'm not going to take the time to read the passage, that Josiah removed the idolatry that existed in the land. In other words, he began by getting rid of what was wrong. You see, Josiah's resolution to seek God resulted in decisive action and sweeping change. He got things done. Seeking the Lord meant doing something for him in obedience to his will. In other words, his resolution was followed by reformation. You ever make a resolution that you fail to follow up on? Like lose weight? I just heard a uh-huh. Well, I think we've all been there, done that, got the t-shirt, right? If you need spiritual renewal in your life, you've got to begin by removing what you know is wrong in your life. There is great power in the decision to do right, to make a change, and to keep that change. Isn't that what the prodigal son did in the parable that we read about in Luke chapter 15? Finally, when all of his fair weather friends were gone, all of his money was gone, and he found himself feeding the hogs in the pig pen, and coveting what they were eating, the record says he came to himself. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And then Jesus says he arose and came to his father. His resolution was followed by reformation. He changed his life. He changed his conduct. And then in the third place, the chronicler tells us in verses 8 and following in 2 Chronicles 34 that Josiah repaired the temple of the Lord. That occurred in the 18th year of his reign. And my friend, if you need spiritual renewal in your life, you've got to repair what has been neglected. The temple of God had been neglected in the 51-year reign of Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh, and then during the reign of his father. If we are to have spiritual renewal, we've got to repair whatever it is in our life that we've been neglecting. If it's prayer, if it's Bible study, if it's worship, both public and private, if it's doing good, we've got to repair whatever needs to be repaired if we're to have spiritual renewal. And then Josiah rediscovered the Word of God. In 2 Kings chapter 22, beginning in verse 8, the historian writes, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book," and Shaphan read it before the king. It's amazing to me, at first blush at least, that the Word of God had been lost in the days of Josiah. Not because anyone had the desire to destroy it, but simply because it had been pushed aside, forgotten, neglected, unread, and untried. Well, that can happen today. And if you need spiritual renewal in your life, you're going to have to rediscover the Word of God. It is, after all, Paul tells us in Romans 1, God's power to save. It is that which will build us up in the most holy faith. And Paul bid farewell to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. He said in verse 32, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Did Brother Robert Jackson ever preach a gospel meeting here at Cortland Avenue? Well, I suspect that if he did, he concluded that gospel meeting by quoting Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, because that was Brother Jackson's practice. If you need spiritual renewal in your life, you're going to have to read the Word of God as you have never read it before. I was watching a YouTube video just earlier this week, and the fella on the video, who is trying to sell folks the Bible software that I use and dearly love, referred to a study that had been done, and this would have been, you know, across the denominational spectrum. And that study indicated that if you spent just one day a week in the Word of God, that really had negligible impact in your life. Same thing if it was just 2 days or 3 days, but the study indicated that if you spent 4 days a week in the Word of God, significant changes occurred in people's lives. May I ask you a question? During this last week, how many times did you read your Bible? It needs to be a daily activity. I'm following a daily Bible reading program, but I must confess to you that for years I didn't do that. But I'm noticing that as I read Scripture, and I'm just reading it, reading a portion of Scripture every day, Monday through Friday, I'm not really studying the text. I'm just reading the text, and I'll confess to you, there are times when I read a section and I suddenly realize, okay, what did I just read? My mind, you know, has gone elsewhere. So if that ever happens to you, it happens to me too, and I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it's a thing that happens. But just reading the Scripture reminds me of things that I hadn't noticed before. Have you found that to be the case? Or it reminds me of things that I forgot somewhere along the line. May I remind you that in Deuteronomy chapter 17, Moses instructed his people, and he said there was going to come a time when they would set up a king. That's verses 18 through 20. And that king was commanded by God to write out a copy of God's law and read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. Well, evidently Josiah hadn't done that. Of course, he was only 8 years old. When we were clearing out things in Mother's house, Mother showed me some of my elementary school papers. I did some book reports in the third and the fourth grade. They were absolutely awful. Absolutely awful. I did a report, a term paper in the fourth grade on reptiles. I mean, bibliography and everything. I think we threw it away. I almost wish we hadn't done that. But it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I couldn't write in the fourth grade. It's really hard for me now. I'm not sure where I was going with that. If King Josiah had written a copy of God's law, a personal copy, and had read it every day, would Judah have been in the sorry state that it was in? Well, I must hurry along. Josiah reverenced God's word. In 2 Kings 22 verse 11, the text says, "Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes." Why did he tear his clothes? Well, he read the book of the law and he realized that his people had not been doing what the law told them to do. And they hadn't been doing that for years and years and years. And he was grieved by that. You see, Josiah did more than just read the Word of God. He respected what it said, and that is evident from his reaction. First of all, he listened to God's Word. He recognized that God was its source. And then he applied the message to himself and his people. You see, this was not just some academic exercise for Josiah. He realized that these words of God had practical application in his life. And his heart was tender to God's message. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and in verse 19... Well, let me back up to verse 18. Huldah, the prophetess, is telling Josiah's messengers what's going to happen in the future. She says, "But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you will speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord." And she goes on to tell Josiah, "You'll be gathered to your fathers before all these terrible judgments fall on your people." Josiah's reaction to the reading of God's word was very different than the reaction of his son Jehoiakim later on. Jeremiah talks about the fact that God had instructed him to take a scroll and write on it all the words that God had spoken. That's Jeremiah chapter 36. And later on in that chapter, Elisha the scribe tells all these words to King Jehoiakim. And he takes out his penknife and he starts cutting pages or cutting selections out of the scroll and throwing them in the fire. If we are to have spiritual renewal in our life, we must reverence God's word. We've got to listen to it, recognize where it comes from, and we've got to apply His word to our lives. We must be willing to tremble at the word of God. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 66 verse 2, God speaking, "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." I'm not sure we do very much trembling at the word of God these days. And then Josiah revealed God's word to his people. 2 Kings 23 verse 1 says, "Now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord." Josiah shared what he had learned with his people. You see, when Josiah rediscovered God's word, he wanted everybody else to know what he had learned. And if we need spiritual renewal in our life, we should want others who need it too to learn what we've learned from God's word. I hurry along. Josiah then resolved to follow the Lord and keep his commandments. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 3, the text says, "Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book." And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Josiah made the decision to do what God says do in his book. And he did this with all his heart. Half-hearted effort in serving the Lord without a loyal heart is not enough. God said in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." If we need spiritual renewal in our life, we've got to resolve to follow the Lord and keep His commandments no matter what they are, no matter what the consequences might be. In other words, we need commitment. Willingness to give our time, our effort, our resources to accomplish the mission that Christ has given us. There's a story about a farmer that was talking to the Lord. And the farmer said, "If I had $1 million, I'd give it to you, Lord." If I had 1,000 acres, I'd turn them over to you, Lord. And the Lord said, well, how about a pig? And the farmer responded, take it easy, Lord, I've got a pig. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then Josiah went on and he removed the idolatry that remained in the land. You see, early on, Josiah had removed idolatry, but either he didn't get rid of all of it, or he got rid of it and it came back in the land and he had to do it all over again. And isn't that the way things happen in our lives? We get rid of bad stuff, but it has a tendency to come back. If we need spiritual renewal in our life, we've got to remove the remnants of sin in our life. Whatever it is that hinders us from being what God wants us to be and doing what He wants us to do must be identified and eliminated, no matter how precious it might be. The most horrendous sacrifices are better that being lost in the devil's hell. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. Now, I don't think Jesus intends for us to interpret that language literally, but it does mean that we need to be willing to make whatever sacrifice we need to make to avoid sin. And then finally, Josiah restored worship to its proper place. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 21, the record says, then the Lord commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. And then the historian says, such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. They hadn't had a Passover like this one since the time of the judges. We're talking hundreds of years earlier. If we need spiritual renewal in our life, we've got to restore worship to its proper place in our lives. God created man so that man might seek after Him. God redeemed us so that we would glorify Him. He's searching for those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. I like the story about the little boy who fell out of bed, and when his mother asked him what happened, he replied, I don't know. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. I think a lot of Christians are like that. They stay too close to where they got in. And that's one of the reasons that they fall away from the Lord. Do you need spiritual renewal in your life today? Well, you can have it if you're resolved to seek God if you'll remove what you know is wrong in your life, if you'll repair whatever it is that's been neglected, if you'll rediscover the Word of God and reverence God's Word and reveal God's Word to others, if you'll resolve to follow the Lord and keep His commandments, if you'll remove any remnants of sin in your life, and if you'll restore worship to its proper place. Friends, if you need the blood of Christ applied to your soul this morning so that your sins will be washed away, we're inviting you to respond to the Lord's invitation to seek God's forgiveness in keeping with His plan, and we would be honored to help you in any way that we can. Will you come right now? If that's your need, as we stand and we sing together.